Welcome to the Republican Professor. I'm outside. I'm going to give you the sound that I have. Waterfall. I've got a gunfighter tactical shirt. Their final day of business operations was unfortunately a couple of years ago. One of I think the best gun store in California lost it. I'm going to read the Declaration of Independence though, because it's July 3rd. 2025. I've got Writer's Tears, Irish Whiskey, not a paid sponsor, Oliva, also not a paid sponsor. And I've got the Signet Classic edition of the Federalist Papers with introduction and notes by Charles Kessler, who was my professor at the PhD level when I took an entire course on the Federalist. What I love about this edition of the Federalist is that it's got a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Articles of Confederation, as well as a glossary of terms and some footnotes that correspond with the Constitution of the United States, so that when, for example, certain provisions of the Constitution, like as you can see, I'm shining up on the screen, Article 1, you can see the page numbers here that I'm referring to. And those correspond to the page numbers which discuss those provisions of the Constitution in the Federalist. So it's a great collection. It's not just because he was my professor. I think that I got a wonderful education there at Claremont Colleges. The Declaration of Independence in Congress, July 4, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 colonies. I'm going to shine it on the screen for you to follow along. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. I'm going to make some comments. You notice the separate and equal language there, picked up in Brown versus Board of Education. In the sphere of education, separate is inherently unequal. Well, there's still separate and equal bathrooms. Think that was a little bit overstated, but then again, that was exactly what was challenged before Trump. So maybe Warren was on to something. At least in terms of the inner logic of certain parts of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, even though that's not what he was talking about in 1954, if you're tracking, that would have been metaphysically impossible, given that time travel is metaphysically impossible. But I did want to refer to the last part there, which is the reference to the opinions of mankind. These are not just a bunch of yahoos out there with dip in their mouth, just kind of like, boy, we're gonna separate from these. It's like they were concerned about the rest of the world and what the rest of the world would think. Why would they be concerned about that? Well, because if they're creating a new nation here, they're going to have ambassadors from those parts of the world, right? So they're going to have to engage in foreign relations, what John Locke called the federative power. And so they're going to have a decent respect for the opinions of mankind if they're going to have favorable foreign relations. And what does this decent respect for the opinions of mankind require? It's the justification. Man, by nature, is a rational animal, and we can speak our justifications. We require justifications for action. We're unique among the animals in that respect. And of course, we're not just animals, are we? We have the laws of nature and nature's God. First reference to the Lord in the Declaration of Independence. There's four references. We're going to get to all of them. This is the famous paragraph. This is the second paragraph. We hold these truths. I'm reading from the book. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, somebody should put that on a coffee mug. That's a pretty good quote. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Taking a puff from my cigar, I might have to relight it. Oh, Oliva came through for me. I didn't have to relight it. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Let's say something else here about this paragraph. The issue of self-evidence has been criticized by philosophers. If you know what a basic proposition is, in the theory of foundationalism and epistemology, a basic proposition is the meaning of a sentence, a declarative sentence that has truth value, that does not rely for its support epistemically on any other proposition. It's basic. And so it's been criticized that it doesn't seem like these are self-evident in a basic foundationalist way. There's been a lot of discussion about that, and I don't think I want to get too much into that other than to say that I think there's a way of understanding that that preserves the sanity of what they're saying there. I think what they're saying is that once you understand what a man is, and you know, you'll notice that word man is used gender neutral. How do I know it's gender neutral? Well, and I don't mean to call you cuz, but cuz I know. I'm going to show you.
Recording in progress.
Okay, I just had to make sure I found it. I didn't want to waste your time. Webster's dictionary from 1828 is one of the most famous dictionaries in American history. I don't know if it's the most famous, but it's one of the most famous. And it's online now, and you can get a pretty good sense for what they meant by the word man. I'm just going to look it up. Man. Mankind is the first meaning of the word man. The human race. Note carefully that includes women. It includes babies. Like, that's the sense in the term of the incarnation of Jesus. He became man. When he was conceived, he became man. Well, when you're a fetus, you're not an adult male. That would hurt Mary. That would probably hurt her. It's a sense of being human. Okay. Look at what Noah is saying here. By the way, check out his senior year picture there. If you're joining us audio only on Apple Podcasts, you're missing a whole lot. I'm sorry. But you can, I'll narrate everything so you don't have to imagine it. The first example he gives in the English language is the King James Version of the Bible, Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion." And that's a famous verse that follows, verse 27. Male and female created he them. Two genders, both man. Man. And then, of course, you have a male individual of the human race, an adult, sometimes a man-child, the sense I was just using, Jesus. And so on and so forth. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. I've talked about this ad nauseum on the podcast before. If you're just now tuning in, of course you wouldn't know that. You might think that it's normal for me to sit here with my Olight flashlight on my California Republic hat. I'm wearing it, by the way, because it's a republic. It's got the word republic in it. Pretty fun. It's the Republican Professor podcast. Gunfighter Tactical, I got a silly shirt on, but it's also kind of not silly, as you're going to see. So just have fun with it, guys. It's July 4th. Maybe you've never read the Declaration of Independence in its entirety, or maybe you did, but it was a long time ago. Or maybe you did and you didn't have the commentary of somebody that's done PhD work on this from reputable sources like Charles Kessler, who, by the way, was on the podcast. Yeah. Notice the second reference to God there, Creator. Where do the rights come from? They're inalienable. They can't be taken from you. They're given by the Creator. What are these rights? Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Let me know what you think about those in the comments. By the way, refer to anything I'm talking about in the comments. I know that you guys have your own opinions on this stuff. I know that I'm not talking to a bunch of idiots, but you have to understand that sometimes Democrats tune in, so I want to, you know, not assume they know anything. That to secure these rights, notice that the concern is securing the rights. Yes, you have them. They're endowed. They're inalienable. But they do need to be secured, because there are threats to those rights. And the threats are going directly to how you're constituted by your Creator. Governments are instituted among men. That's the purpose of government. Purpose of government isn't to just have a rival for private property rights in the public ownership of property. It's to secure your God-given rights. By the way, interesting question. If you believe in evolution as opposed to creation, this is a referencing a creator, then how do you come up with the theory of rights? What's your compatible theory with what this is saying? Or is it going to be totally different? Notice governments are instituted deriving their powers. No, it's not what it says. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Oh, that flips everything on its head. First of all, the standard is justice. And consent. Somehow those two things are supposed to go together. A working out of the Constitution is a pretty good attempt, I would say. Constitution's Day is not till September, okay? So can't do too much today. It's July 3rd. But the arc, the moral arc of this project is to combine justice with consent. They're not the same thing. They're not the same thing. But you have this issue of the consent of the governed. So in some sense, this will be a democracy in the sense that the people rule. That's what democracy means. The people will rule by their consent. That's the only way that the government is going to have just powers. And then this is the only California part of this, that whenever any form of government, whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Now remember, this is following the purpose given in paragraph 1, which is to provide, out of respect to the opinions of mankind, the causes which impel us to separation from Great Britain. Notice I said us in there. It's because I'm including me in there. Maybe you can include yourself too. I think you could. If you're an American, I think you should. It is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government. Who's in charge? The people. Laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form. Now you're going to see that with the Constitution later on. It's not now. They haven't done, they got a lot going on right here. They couldn't do the Constitution at the same time as this. They had to learn a lot of lessons, a lot of hard lessons with the Articles of Confederation and fighting the British. They had to fight first. They had to win and fight before they came up with bylaws. That whenever a form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. Let me make a little comment here. The moral arc of this whole project is safety and happiness. Safety and happiness. Protecting God-given rights. Prudence is the guiding factor. That's a classical virtue. We're not yahoos coming up with just some random, angry fits that we're throwing. We're not rioting, okay? We respect private property. Slavery was legal at the time under the tyrannical rule of Great Britain. The seeds of the abolishing of slavery are right here. Prove me wrong. They're right here. I think this is an anti-slavery document. I think that the slaveholders who signed this were signing the end of that aspect of their private property, because check it out. The foundation of the Republican Party is the end of slavery. Why? Because of the second paragraph. It says right there, all men are created, are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, like life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Hello? 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 Prudence, though, we got to be prudent, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes. We're not throwing a fit here. We've thought carefully about this. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Boy, isn't that not the truth. They just described California right there. I'm in California, in case you don't know. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain, notice how specific that is. They're not talking about monarchy per se. Not really. It's King George III. It's Meghan Markle's family. Just had to get that dig in there. The history of the present great King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And here's where they're laying out their argument to effect what they just said. He's refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and present pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation. Wow. In the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. Notice this, guys. I want you to notice this paragraph right here. This is the essence of Republican government, a Republican form of government. This is the Republican Professor podcast. You see that word right there I'm pointing to? Republic. Republic. That means you have to be represented in government. It's not a direct democracy. We're talking about being represented. The king wanted to axe that necessary condition of Republican government. It's not a sufficient condition. We supposedly have representative government here in California. But I think we would wonder whether it's really a republic or not. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, wow, and distant. Wow. Distant from the depository of their public records. Why would he want to do that? For the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. I think that this point right there is probably lost on the average student that reads this. What's the problem with being fatigued? Well, How do I get through to you on this? I think they're being nice here. I think they're being nice. It's a big deal. I mean, travel was a big deal back then. Think about travel. One of the things I could tell my students is this. I mean, you guys can't even sit through a lecture with wanting to look through your phones. Just turn the air conditioner off. What if I was going to give you an exam? No, not even that. I mean, give you a quiz. But before I do that, I turn the air conditioner off. You'd complain. Well, this is a world without air conditioning. This is a world where you can't just hop in an Uber, a goober. Traveling was arduous. It was dirty. It was nasty. It was smelly. It was disgusting. You're dealing with horse manure. You're dealing with salt water if you're going by water. Maybe fresh water if you're going by river. It's sweaty. Sometimes it's cold. In England, it's probably cold. Across the Atlantic, it's extremely arduous. Being able to predict the conditions under which your representative work is conducted is very important. Why? Because you're deliberating. You're deliberating. You have to have access to the public records. You have to have access to what was said before and what was said and how it was said and why it was said. Otherwise, how are you going to deliberate? How are you going to deliver it if you're exhausted, if you're sweaty, if you're disgusted, if you have to go number two, if you haven't eaten, if you're hot, if you're cold? And he's doing this because he's a despot. Just listen to how some of the J6ers were treated. You'll get a sense of what this means. I'm not going to get into that right now. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness. Ooh, love that word. Manly firmness. See a book called Manliness by Harvey Mansfield, who was the professor of Charles Kessler at Harvard. Harvard man there. Kessler tells me that a Harvard man is somebody that went to Harvard as an undergrad, not necessarily somebody that went as a graduate student, although he did both. John Yoo is a Harvard man. He came on the podcast. Kessler's a Harvard man. Cotton Mather is a Harvard man. But I'm not going to start talking about the Mathers. All right, let's keep going. He has refused for a long time such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative power, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. Not going to comment on all of these just because we don't want to be out here for too long. I'm sure you want to go have your hot dog and whatnot. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to the laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. By the way, I'm just going to reference this that these a lot of these were directly confronted in the establishment of the Constitution. So you'll notice that last one there, if you know the Constitution, was corrected by an independent judiciary whose pay cannot be altered by the executive or the legislature. Of course, the legislature has the power of the purse, right? Under the Constitution. So how exactly would that would be enforced? Well, I'm happy you asked, because the plaintiff would be the court that would not be paid, and they would be, of course, unable to hear that case due to the long-standing provision in jurisprudence that you can't be a judge when you're a party to the case. In 1802, I'm just going to share this. In 1802, you'll notice there are no Supreme Court decisions in 1802. 1803, Barbary versus Madison comes. But in 1802, there are no Supreme Court cases, and that's because they were not funded by the legislature. The party that Thomas Jefferson was affiliated with whom he was affiliated, refused to fund the federal court, and so the Supreme Court. Now, there probably weren't that many cases, certainly not near as many as we have today, not even close, but that's a helpful background for Marbury versus Madison in 1803, if you know that dispute. That's the only time that's ever happened. Thought I would pass that on for your reflection. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, just keep listening. We're going to continue with the Declaration of Independence. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. That sounds familiar. 87,000 new IRS. Oh, sorry. No, they're talking about the King of England there. Sorry about that. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. That was corrected. He has affected to render the military independent of his and superior to civil power. That was corrected in the Constitution. He has, who's he? King George III. He has combined with others to subject us to jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution. The UN didn't exist yet, but that sure sounds like we've dealt with that recently. The last several decades, at least the fear of it. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, given his assent to their acts, pretended legislation. Giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. Wow. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us. That was corrected in the Constitution. The Third Amendment. The Third Amendment. How many of you guys are for the Second Amendment? Guess whether I am. Just take a guess. Just take a guess. Just take a guess. I know. Take your best guess. The Third Amendment. Look it up. The Third Amendment. Fix that. For protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. We're talking about murders, guys. Murders. You thought the Clintons were bad? Murders, people. Murders. Incidentally, recall up here. Recall. Recall. Second paragraph. When a long train of abuses. This is not a tiny thing that they're throwing a fit over. We're talking about repeated injuries and usurpations. Remember that whenever any form of government, whenever any form of government, even a democracy, becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to abolish it. Right? And we don't do this for light and transient causes. You're talking about murder, people. Murder. Kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal. Murder. Four. Cutting off trade with all parts of the world. For imposing taxes on us without our consent. For depriving us, in many cases, of the benefits of trial by jury. This is great background for the Constitution. You have to read this. For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. There's a due process issue. Habeas corpus. For abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government. Arbitrary government is opposite of republican government. And enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. for taking away our charters. Well, that's a big deal right there, buddy. That's a big deal. Abolishing our most valuable laws and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. The forms of the governments were representative. They were republican forms of government. Now, I have something to say about these charters, and it's going to take a little bit more whiskey. I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. I just had to get a refill there. One moment. Okay, so if you hear the waterfall in the background, I don't mean to bother you, but I'm outside. It's July 3rd, 2025, years after Jesus. I'm trying to relight my cigar here. Took a little bit of a break to get a refill. Yes, the light is the Olight S1R Baton 2. And I've got the Oliva Series 5 Maduro. I think that's what it's called. And Writer's Tears Irish Whiskey. Not a paid sponsor. But we're in the Declaration of Independence. Just having a good time, guys. Reading through the Declaration, commenting on it, so on and so forth. I hope this is a good recording. I don't know if it is. We'll find out. Taking away our charters. This is a really important thing that we have to talk about. There's a Supreme Court decision in the early years of the Republic called the Dartmouth College case. And it had to do with the issue of a charter and the contracts clause. To just give you an idea of what was at stake here. And I'm pulling up the Wikipedia just to give you an idea of where it is. But it's an early decision, 1819, which was having to do with one of these charters, these kingly charters that are referenced here in the Declaration, only to show that the charters were considered contracts. Okay, at least under the Constitution later. Now, if they're contracts, I want you to link this with something that's been said already here. The issue of deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Remember I said that the justice issue was different than the consent issue. The justice issue was there. The prudence issue was there. The justice issue has to do with violation of contracts. And I think that there's biblical background there that's unarticulated here, but it's just kind of taken for granted. I want you to see a book by Donald Lutz. Fantastic writer. And it's called The Origins of American Constitutionalism by Lutz. So I'm pulling it up, and I want you to put this on your Christmas list, your stocking stuffer Christmas list, okay? Oh, there's LSU Press. You don't need to, you know, buy it at Amazon. I know. Support your local bookstore, guys. Seriously. There's no cover. LSU, get your crap together. Give me a break. So I have to go to Amazon, maybe. Anyway, I want to show you the cover. There it is. Here we got the archives. Maybe Miami University Online Bookstore has their crap together. There it is. It's really small, and they're not letting me click on it. But, okay, I'll go to Amazon. Frickin' Amazon. See, this is why they dominate everything, because they have their crap together. Origins of American Constitutionalism. He argues that a lot of this is biblical, people. A lot of it is biblical. The issue of contracts, the issue of taking oaths. It's a big deal. Even the king is subject to contracts. Wow, what a concept. Wow. Okay, let's continue. For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, destroyed our lives and our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death. Wow, it's kind of a big deal. These are not light and transient causes. Desolation and tyranny. Already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. Wow. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country. Jeez. To become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections among us. Relighting the Oliva, Series 5. And has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. And I know that there's a Democrat out there somewhere who is upset that the word Indian was used. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity. We have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. To disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections, and correspondents. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. You know what consanguinity is? It means we share the same blood. It means tradition. That's what it means. Justice. Why do you think I have sunglasses on? Because I think I'm cool. No, the sun is right there, right in my eye, okay? It's July. I'm not cool, okay? You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Vern? It's the sun's going down. It's getting down kind of behind a tree right now, but consanguinity is tradition, basically. We share the same heritage. It's not just justice. Notice justice and consanguinity are not the same thing. Okay, so this is not like Alistair MacIntyre relativism here. This is, I wouldn't say this is Enlightenment stuff that he attacked either. I would say that this is biblical stuff. The principles of justice are not dependent on your particular tradition, but the fact that justice and tradition are both against the king here. It's not good. This is not good. They're overproducing evidence here. They're overproducing. Just realized I wasn't sharing my screen here. Hold on. Let me go back to the text. We must, therefore, we must, therefore, it's vexing to read this. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We therefore, this is what you call a conclusion indicator in Introduction to Logic. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, they're using that term. That means death sentence. You have to understand, when they use that term here, it's a death sentence. Okay? This isn't just walking into the Capitol here on January 6th, you know, dressed up in some weird dragon costume. You know, or that old lady, you know, the old lady from all the memes, you know, waving the American flag. Guys, they're forming a new country. They just named it the United States of America. That's what tomorrow is all about. It brings chills to my bones here. I served in the military. You don't have to serve to be patriotic. Thank God. Appreciate all the patriots out there, whether you served or not. We therefore, representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. Notice, guys, this is the third time the Lord God is referenced. Right there, Judge. What are the prior references? Nature's God, Creator, Supreme Judge, here. For the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as a free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract, alliances. Establish commerce and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, there's the fourth reference to the Lord, providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Want to make sure that you see the three branches of government in the that are not there in the declaration, but are there in the references to God. I would say providence is an executive reference. I would say that Supreme Judge is a judicial reference. There's two of the three branches of government. I would say that the laws of nature, nature's God, and I think to some extent the Creator references a legislative issue, talking about laws. Now, make of that what you want. We can talk about it more later if you want. I think it's kind of incoherent at this point. Not incoherent, but inchoate, unarticulated to some extent. But I would like to say, because this is a Republican Professor podcast, something about the Civil War. Now, what came out of this during the fight with Great Britain was the Articles of Confederation. The Articles of Confederation, notice the word Confederacy, right? Confederacy. The Articles of Confederation reflect the early language here that you see here in this last paragraph. The United States of America, plural, right? You see the United Colonies are, now I want you to see that the normative language here is not just merely descriptive, it's normative. The normative language is all over the place in here. It's all over the place. I taught ethics for a long time, and ethics, if you know anything about ethics, is not merely descriptive, it's normative. It's not saying what is, but what ought to be. You see that, for example, early on, you see, I pointed this out already, you have, first of all, epistemic normativity. You have an issue of, it's not just opinions that matter, but respecting people who form opinions about you, what evidence they're using, how are they coming to any conclusions about you? You have an epistemic obligation, an epistemic norm to fulfill here in justifying your action. So there's epistemic normativity. And you've got this language of rights, which is, of course, morally normative. Securing these rights in the second paragraph. The purpose of government. There's the Aristotelian angle there. There's a purpose in everything we're doing here. There's a moral arc here having to do with the design of people. Prudence. This is dictated by virtue. It's not vice, it's virtue. We're not doing this for light and transient causes. We are countering evil. There's a long train of abuses that we're articulating here. Under absolute despotism, we have not only a right, a duty to throw off such government. And we have the public good in mind. We are trying to show that what we're doing is right. And it's not just that we're doing what we want to do. We're under God. We're solemnly swearing this is true. What's an oath, by the way? Check out Donald Lutz's book, The Origin of American Constitutionalism. It has biblical background. Biblical background. Notice the normative language here. Justice. Justice. If you're not on YouTube watching this, you're not seeing what I'm highlighting. But just listen carefully. Of right, I'm in the last paragraph. Of right ought to be free. Of right ought to be free. Under God, we're saying this. The rectitude of our intentions. For the good people. They're not bad people. They're good people. Well, they own slaves. I know. This is the Republican Professor podcast. The Republican Party was instituted in 1854 to abolish that issue based on the Declaration principles. I get it. I'm with you on that. I get it. Yeah. We ought to be. Of right do. I'm on the last paragraph. We're relying on the Lord. We're going to war with the most powerful military because it's the right thing. Not just because we are impatient, we're greedy, we throw a fit when we get what we don't want. No, that's not what it is. We're at the point where duty requires this. I'm going to make another point. These people were able to do this because they were armed. See Stephen Holbrook, a guest on this podcast twice. He was just in Brazil, and they complained to Instagram and got his account suspended. We're dealing with tyranny in Brazil right now. It's back up, but it's just these usurpations and annoyances from these petty tyrants in Brazil. But the work of Stephen Holbrook is incredible. When I taught the American Founding at Azusa Pacific University, American Founding, wonderful class, I used Stephen Holbrook's work. I used Lucas Morrell's work on Lincoln. I used The Founder's Second Amendment by Holbrook. And I used another TRP guest. His name is Philip Vincent Munoz. And Vincent Philip Munoz, I forget which one it is. It's Philip Vincent or Vincent Philip. I think it's Philip Vincent. I used to call him Phil. I'm not sure if that's his middle name or what, but Munoz is a First Amendment scholar. Holbrook is a Second Amendment scholar. Morrell is a Lincoln scholar, and we had a wonderful time on those episodes. I would highly recommend you check out the Kessler episode as well. Kessler is the same guy that taught me the Federalist Papers. Guys, this is legitimate stuff. I hope you're paying attention. I'll see you next time. Thanks for joining me on the Republican Professor Podcast. It's 3 July, 2025 years after Jesus. Make sure that you check out Donald Lutz. Check out Donald Lutz, The Origins of American Constitutionalism. And I would also highly, and I'm not saying this because I'm an undergrad and I'm and pot is legal, but check out the Federalist Papers Signet Classic Edition. And I'm pulling it up on AmoZone. I'm sorry. I know, support your local book dealer, but AmoZone, unfortunately, or fun-ortunately, however you put it, just does it better. But there's Charles Kessler right there. Charles Kessler does a wonderful job in this, and he was my professor, also a guest on this podcast. It's not the same one that I'm showing as this one. Get one of these copies, the Signet Classic Edition. We'll see you next time. Feel free to comment on this. I'm interested to hear what you have to say. And enjoy your 4th. May the 4th be with you. See you later. RIP, Gunfighter Tactical, Miramar, California.